Well, friends, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Has God's word ever gotten in your way? Like been inconvenient for you? Or maybe it's gotten in a way in your way where now you kind of have to stop doing something that you were doing? Or stop doing something that you didn't really want to be doing, but you were doing anyway? Has God's word ever gotten in your way? Tim read this for us from Acts chapter 2. Peter, the apostle Peter, is preaching to these Jews on Pentecost Sunday, all right? And all these Jews, and here's what he says. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that? God's word got in the way. Peter boldly, and remember, like right before this, disciples were hiding out of fear that the Jews would kill them, right? And the Holy Spirit comes, descends on them, and now Peter's boldly preaching. He's condemning them. He's saying, this Jesus whom you crucified, right? You killed the Lord. And guess what? He's back. Uh-oh, you guys are in deep doo-doo, right? And that's how they take it, right? This guy that you killed, he's back. And guess what? He happens to be the Lord of everything. The Lord of all of heaven and earth and even under the earth. He's the Lord, and you guys are the ones that killed him. And the Jews recognize that, uh-oh, God's word is in the way. God's word got in the way of their lives, and now they had to deal with the fact that they are in deep doo-doo. That's what the Greek in the Bible says. And so what do they say? What shall we do? We're in trouble. Apparently the guy that we killed, we're now his enemy. He's back. And he has the power over death. What do we do? And what does Peter do? He has the word get in the way again. Repent and be baptized and receive forgiveness and receive the Holy Spirit. Can you put yourselves in the shoes of one of these Jews? Wouldn't this be remarkable? I mean, imagine that they had to change what they thought about the crucifixion, right? In this moment, they began to think, once they hear Peter's condemnation, you crucified the Lord and he's back. They hear that as, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And what they know about the crucifixion is that it's this terrible crime that they have committed, that they have sinned against none other than God himself, and they are in trouble. The cross was a reminder of their crime. And now, for them to repent, they have to change what they think about the cross. No longer is the cross their sin. No longer is the cross their crime. They now have to think of the cross as their deliverance, as their salvation. I mean, imagine if you were a Jew that day, that just mere days ago you were You were yelling, crucify him. And now he's back. And you know that you're guilty. You know that you were wrong. And now the same one that you were condemning to death, now you must consider as your Savior. You must consider what you did to him as your salvation. And you must consider that what you did to him by crucifying him is now something that he meant to do. And now, the word gets more in your way, in a good way. That now you have to grapple with the fact that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus wants to be your Lord. And that means that the word of God is going to change your whole life. God's word gets in the way. Brothers and sisters in Christ, like the Jews, the word of God gets in our way. You can't get around it. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. God's word is in the way, and you have to deal with the fact that it's something that you have to go through. And God's word gets in the way by condemning us and proclaiming to us. Peter would go on to say to the Jews this. He says, with many other words, Peter bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. That God's word would be an ongoing reality in their lives that they had to grapple with. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. It's a good thing we don't have crooked generations anymore. That phrase, a crooked generation, I guess I would define it this way, right? People who do not live as if Jesus is Lord. And they go about their lives as if Jesus is inconsequential. They don't see Jesus as getting in the way of their lives. So maybe as people who belong to Jesus, maybe it's worth asking, if the word of God was absent or went absent from your life, would your life look the same as it does now? What would change if the word of God never got in the way of your life? See, life lived in the word of God condemns you. It makes you uncomfortable, doesn't it? When you live life in the word of God, it points out those thoughts that you would rather just keep hidden. When you live life in the word of God, it points out those words that maybe you shouldn't have said. When you live life in the word of God, it points out the things that you've done or things that you have left undone. It kind of reminds us of our confession of faith this morning, doesn't it? Our confession of our sins. God's word points out those things in our life that make us feel itchy and uncomfortable. It condemns us. And then God's word does something else. It gets in the way of our sin. It gets in the way of our despair. It gets in the way of even the punishments that we deserve because it also proclaims to us. It doesn't just condemn us. It proclaims to us that Jesus, the one that our sins put on the cross, he meant to do that. He took our punishment for our sins. He gets in the way of your sins so that he becomes your Lord. He gives you eternal life. God's word condemns us and it also proclaims to us. And then, just for an extra measure, it gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses God's word to transform us so that we now live new lives under His word. And that makes us the church. You know, this thing that we do together, this reason why we're here this morning, is that Jesus has brought us together by His word. Jesus has tied us together by His word so that we call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family, we are a people, we are brothers and sisters who let God's word get in the way of our lives. And we bring God's word into each other's lives so that God's word would get in the way of each other's lives. That's what life in the church is all about. We need each other. You know, I was talking with our confirmation kids a week ago on Sunday. They're almost confirmed. So we're having those like final discussions. And one of the things that I reminded them of was, you know what? This is you confirming your faith. And you may not be like best of friends going into high school. You may never be best of friends, but you are something closer. You're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that means that when you go into high school, you are relying on these people that you are confirming your faith with to share the same faith, which means that you are leaning on them. And when you're going through a hard time, you can look to them and say, hey, I need somebody who shares the same faith, who believes in the same word to help me out. And then you guys also do that for each other. You have each other's backs. You may not be best of friends, but you're closer than that. You know, we also have 8 new members who are joining us this morning. And they're joining us because they too believe that the Word of God is true, it is powerful, and that it gets in the way of our lives. They believe that we need to hear the words law, and we need to hear the words gospel, and that we are people who are committing to being here for each other. That's what membership is. You know, I remember I had a person ask once, not here, but in the past, so what's like the monthly fee for membership here? I was like, well, that's not how it works. The whole idea of being a member of a church is that you're committing to being together in the Word. You're saying, I want to be called out. I want to be shown when I'm doing something wrong. I want to be forgiven for when I'm doing something wrong. And I want to do the same for the people here. That's what being part of this family is all about. We call out sin, we give hope in suffering, and we give guidance by His word, and we share in each other's joys that we have in Christ. And we don't stop being the church when we leave this place. In fact, friends, most of the lives of the church happen out there, don't they? We're only here together for maybe a couple hours a week. Most of the time, God's church is out there. But does God's word stop working when you leave the building? No, it doesn't. The Holy Spirit sends His word with you. And so, the Holy Spirit wants you to use His word to condemn, like Peter, but also to proclaim, like Peter. God wants you to let His word get in the way. And that's true for your families, for your kids, for your grandkids, for your friends, for your coworkers, for your neighbors, anybody that God brings into your life, the word of God should probably get in the way at some point, shouldn't it? You know, I had a pastor's meeting this last week, and it was on Tuesday. And the news cycle has changed a lot since Tuesday, but I remember our topic conversation that morning, because it was kind of a hot topic, was that whole, I don't know if you saw this, it was like an AI picture that President Trump had posted that seemed to depict himself as Jesus. And we were talking about that, and we were talking about other politics, and we were talking about taxes and all these things that, you know, pastors could address, and how do we figure out what to condemn? How do we figure out what to proclaim and pray for and encourage? And we're like, there's too much to talk about. How do we even get to all this stuff when we only have, you know, 10 minutes for a sermon on Sunday mornings? I'm joking. How do we get to all this stuff? And eventually we got to the point where we said, you know what? Maybe it's not our job as pastors to talk about everything under the sun. Because God's word isn't only the pastors. It's also the churches. And one of the pastors there on Tuesday morning, his wife is the mayor of Gray's Lake. And it's like, you know what? Well, maybe her job is to bring God's word into tax code, right? Or city ordinances. And that's true no matter what your job is. Whether you are a pencil pusher or a police officer or a garbage man or an EMT or whatever your job is, it could be a stay-at-home mom, could be a grandma, could be a grandpa, a husband or a wife. Your job is to understand what God's word would say about your corner of the world. And to leverage God's word in that. And sometimes that means condemning things. And condemning can actually be a loving thing to do. That's what Peter did for the Jews that morning, right? It was actually loving to point out to them that they had crucified the Lord. It's loving to show people where they're going wrong and condemning themselves with their sin. It's loving to stop sin from hurting other people. But you condemn in order also to proclaim, to be able to speak God's promises, to speak His good news into situations in your corner of the world. You dispel the delusion that people can go on without Jesus as Lord, and then you invite them to repent, to proclaim His forgiveness, to proclaim His deliverance, to proclaim that the Holy Spirit enters into our lives and transforms them. So maybe this is a good reminder to ask ourselves as a church, especially on a day where we're welcoming 8 new members, and after last Sunday where we welcomed 3 new baptized members, and next Sunday we're going to welcome another baptized member, and the Sunday after that where we're going to confirm 6 of our confirmation kids, where there's a whole lot of membership going on, right? Maybe it's a good time to ask ourselves, you know what? How can we as a church, every single one of us, let God's word get in the way of our lives? And how might the Holy Spirit have positioned you to bring God's word to bear in the world, to get in the way of the world? I'd argue that the best thing is when God's word gets in the way. There's nothing better. Because God's word, what it proclaims, is that Jesus, who was crucified, is back from the dead. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.